Thank you, Dave. That's really great news, isn't it? It's great things that are happening over in India with the gospel. The Bible reading today comes from 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 19. And as it says on up there, 933 in the Pew Bibles. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied.
Well, good morning, church. Sorry to interrupt all those conversations. Just press pause, find those people in the foyer afterwards, and you can continue those conversations. It's lovely to be here this morning and have the opportunity again to open God's Word. If you've closed your Bibles, now is the time to open it back up again. We're going to be spending most of our time in 1 Corinthians 15, 12 to 19. How about I pray and then we get into it? Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your word, that we can open it so easily and talk about it in freedom. I pray that you would speak through your word to your people here this morning. May we not leave unchanged this morning. May we be strengthened by your word, built up and rooted in its life-changing importance. Be with me, Lord, as I explain this passage. Help me to speak clearly and to speak your truth boldly. I pray this in your name and for your glory. Amen. So why is it important? Why is it important that when I jump, I get pulled back down to earth and don't get flung out into space? The proper amount of gravity pulling me down is important because if it wasn't that way, then we'd all just be flung out into space every time we jumped. Why is it important that we don't verbalize every single thought that we have? You may think that some people already have this problem, but really think about it. Why is it important that I'm not saying everything that's going on in my head right now? I wonder if I said that right. Is that guy already sleeping? What am I having for lunch? It would be complete chaos. Did I say that right? We would not be able to get anything done. Good job, you're nailing it. On a more serious level, why is it important that the Allies won World War II and not the Nazis? Could you imagine a world where the Nazis won and the whole world was oppressed by what was a horrible and terrifying regime? Without the heroic and courageous sacrifice of millions of soldiers, we'd be under a totalitarian government, and I can tell you right now, we would not be meeting like this. And then looking at our passage for this morning, why does Paul think that the resurrection is so important? Why does he go to such lengths to talk about it? Does the resurrection, or just resurrection in general, make that much of a difference to our faith? The big idea for this morning is that without the resurrection, your sin is still a massive problem. I've got 3 points, and the first two are implications. The first implication is that without the resurrection, our preaching is useless, because we've lied about God. The second is that if Jesus wasn't raised, then we are still in our sins. And the third point and last point is simply titled The Good News. So, without the resurrection, our preaching is useless because we've lied about God. You can see this playing out in verse 15, but let's read from verse 12 just to reestablish ourselves in the text. So 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12 to 15. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. You see, Paul and the apostles have been preaching that Christ has been raised. You can read that in pretty much all of the letters that they wrote. They've gone all over the known world saying that Jesus was the Messiah, that he went to the cross and that he paid for the sins of the nations and then was raised again by God. But if God hasn't raised Jesus, then we've been lying about what God has done. And if that is the case, then those that have preached here have lied about God too. We've been talking God up, saying that he's done this thing, but if he hasn't, then we've lied about him. But Paul and the apostles were sure about who Jesus is and what God has done. You have to ask, though, if it didn't happen, if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, why would you put yourself in harm's way to preach this message if you thought even the tiniest bit you thought that it might not be true? Many of you will remember Lance Armstrong for all of the wrong reasons. He was one of the greats of world cycling. Unbeatable, immovable, iron will, complete control over mind and body. He always said that he would never use performance-enhancing drugs, and everyone believed him. People, and I include myself here, we defended him up to the very end, saying that he would never cheat to win. He's an upstanding guy, and he loved the sport. People all around the globe went into bat for him, saying that he was perfect, saying that he was the best cyclist in history. He would never cheat. We thought we were telling the truth about him. And even as the first accusations came to light, we thought that someone was just after his money, that someone just wanted to discredit him because he performed so well. Well, when the whole story came out, and he actually admitted to using performance-enhancing drugs, the world was shocked. Lance Armstrong, 7-time winner of the Tour de France, was the ringleader in the world's most sophisticated, professionalized, and successful doping program that sport has ever seen. Everyone had to re-evaluate what he said about himself because he was proved to be a cheat. He had his titles stripped away. He lost a lot of money. His brand and non-profit organization, Livestrong, has suffered heavily, and his name is now a dirty word among cycling circles. We were lying about Lance Armstrong. We didn't know it. All of the evidence came to light, and we just had to rethink our position. I knew that I couldn't support a cheater, especially one that had lied so much. All that I said about him was a lie. I didn't get whipped or beaten, but I still stuck my neck out for him. And in the end, it was worth nothing because he was proved to be cheating. Well, Paul and the apostles have said all of this stuff about God, made all these claims about him raising Jesus from the dead. But if it came out that Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, then they need to reevaluate everything what they've been saying about God because they've been lying about him. In fact, everyone would need to reevaluate what they've said about God. If Jesus was still dead, then everything that they've said is worth nothing. Every bit of suffering for the gospel was worth nothing. Everyone who believed them has made a fatal mistake because of what they said. We don't have to reevaluate what Paul and the apostles said about God because it's true. But we still find it hard work to talk about the gospel in a positive way in this world. We don't always make friends when we try and preach the gospel, so why would we continue if we didn't think it was true? Why would we go to all the effort that we do with men's and women's outreach events if we thought that the resurrection never happened? You see, we fear not because Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Graham covered that last week. And so shall we, because that's what God has promised. We're speaking the truth about God, and unlike Lance Armstrong, what we say about God has been and will be proven true. We can be confident that we speak the truth about God because his Son is raised. Implication number two, and this is the scary one. If Jesus wasn't raised, then you are still in your sins. Paul makes this abundantly clear in verse 17. And this is really the focal point for the passage. Let's read verse 17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. You see, Paul's building on this flow that he started with and gone to its logical conclusion. If there is no resurrection for the dead, then Jesus hasn't been raised, then you are still in your sins. We know that the wages of sin is death. Romans 6 tells us that, and the Old Testament builds up this expectation that only death can pay for sin through substituting the life of an appropriate animal for the sin committed. That's why there's chapters and chapters of which animal to use to atone for your sins in Leviticus. If Jesus lays dead, then that means something very important about who he is. It means that he had to pay for his own sin and couldn't possibly have paid for ours too. Think about it. You can't bail someone out of prison if you're in prison yourself. You can't pay off someone's debt if you're in your own massive debt. It just doesn't work. The Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter 2:22 that he, being Jesus, he committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. If Jesus doesn't rise from the dead, then what Peter says here is invalidated. In fact, everything in the Bible can be ignored if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. Christianity absolutely stands or falls on the resurrection. Christianity either stands in glory on the resurrection or falls in futility and a completely wasted life. If you have a modern car, you know how much of a pain it is to lose the key, especially if you've lost the main key and the spare key. You've just turned your car into a useless lump of metal, rubber, and maybe leather, depending on how much you spent. It's nothing. It's a useless object, and it means that you can't get to work, you can't pick the kids up from school, and you can't go to Woolies for your weekly grocery run anymore. You can't get into it without breaking the window, and even then, you can't possibly start the thing because you've got no idea how to hotwire it. Right now, it has ceased to be a car and is now just taking up space in your driveway. Without the key, your car is just a big lump of useless bits and you're stuck where you are. Without the resurrection, Jesus is just some failed revolutionary, and it means that you are still stuck in your sins. Jesus' resurrection is the key that unlocks and starts eternal life. You see, there's a lot of people that say that Jesus is just a good teacher. But really, it's all a waste of time if he hasn't been raised from the dead. Nothing about Jesus matters if he hasn't been raised from the dead. They say that Jesus is just a good guy and we can learn some things about him, about morality or how to live a good life. But he wasn't really God, so just don't worry about that part. He must have been crazy to say he was God, but the rest of his stuff is good. Let's follow that part. What rubbish. Jesus is an all or nothing dude. Either he is who he says he is or he's a liar. You can't use him as a good moral example. You can't use him as a good moral example if he lied about himself. Only a crucified and resurrected Jesus is of any use to anyone. Without a Savior to take the punishment for sins for us, then there is no salvation. There's no way that we'll ever be right with God. Why is the resurrection important? Because without it, you are still in your sins. Think about that for a second. Imagine that time when you sinned and you're really ashamed of it. Now imagine if that sin is still hanging over you. Imagine all of the times that you've lost your temper, or you've been frustrated, All the times that you've done something selfish because it's easier than doing the right thing. Imagine all the times that you've ignored God and thought that you want to do life in your own way and on your own terms. Imagine that all these things are still hanging over your head because Jesus hasn't been raised from the dead. What a wretched person am I? How could God ever love me? If we look at the Bible without Jesus' resurrection, then it means a whole bunch of bad things. All this language that we get in the New Testament about Jesus dying, the righteous, for the unrighteous, to bring us to God is a complete waste of time because he didn't bring us to God and he wasn't righteous. We're stuffed. But, and this is a big but, there is good news. So, the good news. Let's read verse 17 again just for reference. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. And now let's have a look at Acts 5, 29 to 32, where Peter and the apostles are under scrutiny for what they've been preaching. Let's just say they're not having a fun time of it. Peter and the apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." See, here Peter and the apostles say that they were witnesses to these things, meaning that they saw Jesus be crucified and saw him raised to life 3 days later. They're telling the truth about God because they saw it happen. Jesus' resurrection proved that he was the Savior. His death and resurrection proves that he saved us from our sins. And Peter's application for this astonishing news about God is in verse 31. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. To bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. That's the good news that has gone out in Acts. And it goes out even further and beyond Israel to all the ends of the earth. I've been watching the Netflix series The Good Place recently with Trish. I won't spoil too much, but the basic premise is that every good deed and every bad deed has points associated with them. If you end up doing more good than bad, you'll end up in the good place. If you end up doing more bad than good, you end up in the bad place, having your nostrils stuffed with bees, amongst other things. I won't go into the main storyline, but I was struck as we watched the latest episode by this one guy called Doug. He'd figured out the whole system in a hallucination. And ever since then, he was doing everything that he could to be the best person ever. One of the characters asked him why he didn't take a break. Why did he keep trying to be the best person so that he could get into the good place? He said, "I can't risk it. There's an accountant out there somewhere measuring the value of everything that I do. What if I relax and do something that loses me just enough points to keep me out of the good place and I'm tortured for eternity? No, I have to make every moment count. It's the only rational way to live." I use this as an example because it is the only rational way to live if Christ hasn't been raised from the dead. You have to keep track of everything you did for a shot at whatever good thing happens after this life. You'd never be able to take a break because what happens if you inadvertently lost just enough points to keep you out? It would be exhausting. Not to mention the sheer anxiety at every single action you did. Well, do I have good news? Because Christ has died, and he was raised, and he has paid for your sins. If you believe him, you are in the good place. There's no maybe. There's no worrying if you've ever done enough to tip the scales in your favor. There is only faith in him that secures you. All the bad things that you've done, all the bad things that you're going to do aren't counted against you because Jesus has taken them into his own account and paid them. You are free. Without his resurrection, you'd still be trying to earn your way into heaven. That's why the resurrection is so important. If the resurrection is true, then all you have to do is repent and believe. And you have a ticket to the good place. Acts 5 says as much. Repent and believe the good news. That through Jesus you have forgiveness for all that you've done and you will join him in heaven in the last days. You don't have to earn your way into heaven on some arbitrary system. Because Jesus has already bought your ticket with his own blood on the cross. Jesus' resurrection means that we can read the opposite of what Paul has written in 1 Corinthians 15, 12-19. I'd like you to follow along in your Bibles because I'm going to read the opposite of what Paul has written there. Let's start with verse 13 where Paul begins his argument. Verse 13, since Christ has been raised, there is resurrection for the dead. Verse 14, since Christ has been raised, our preaching is useful and your faith is fruitful. Verse 15, since Christ has been raised, we are telling the truth about how God raised Christ from the dead. Verse 16 is the same as verse 13, since Christ has been raised, there is resurrection for the dead because Christ has been raised. Verse 17, since Christ has been raised, your faith is fruitful and you are free from your sins. Verse 18, since Christ has been raised, those that have put their faith in Jesus and passed away are with him now. And verse 19, since Christ has been raised, our hope in Christ has eternal effects. So in conclusion, does the resurrection strike you as important? Because without it, you are still in your sins, and that is a terrifying thought. You don't have to earn your way into the good place. It's all been done for you. But if Jesus wasn't raised, then it means that every time you've sinned, every time you've done something wrong or immoral, every time you've lost control, is still hanging over you. You can work hard at doing every possible good deed, but still knowing that the bad deeds count against you, life would be a never-ending quest for doing good things, never resting in case you did something bad and tipped the scales against you. But in the end, you just have to cross your fingers and hope that you've done enough. Destruction is around the corner. There's no way to avoid it without believing in Jesus' death and resurrection. If you're not a Christian here today, I want you to know that there is hope. There is no condemnation. There is no destruction for those that are in Christ Jesus. If that's you, then I'd love to talk with you more about what this means after the service. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God's word is true. It has set you free from your sin. We're not telling the story of Lance Armstrong, crossing our fingers and hoping that he's not cheating. We're telling the story of the God of the universe who came down to earth to pay for our sins and be resurrected in glory to sit at God's right hand in heaven. His word, his gospel, his truth has given you life and freedom from guilt. Jesus took your sins and nailed them to the cross, and then he was raised again in glory. Go, tell. Show the glory of God's grace. Believe it, because it happened. Because without it, you're still in your sins. And with it, you will see the God who loves you. Let's pray. Lord God and Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, down to earth to pay for our sins on the cross. Thank you even more that you raised him to life again to be with you in glory. Thank you for your amazing grace, because we have in no way earned your favor. Without your Son's incredible sacrifice on the cross, Without the resurrection, we would be completely stuffed. But you, our God, came down to earth to save us, restoring the relationship so that we can call you Father once more. I pray all of this in praise of you. Amen.